It's time now for music. And for this story, I'm going to church. I'm at 40th and State Street in Chicago, standing right in front of Roberts Temple Church of God in Christ. In the 1920s, the sound of music in the black church underwent a revolution. And here in Chicago, Roberts Temple Church of God in Christ was a witness to what occurred. The high-energy gospel beat of the music in this Pentecostal church is the creation, say music critics, of Arizona Drains, a blind piano player, a woman who introduced secular piano styles like barrel house and ragtime to the church's music. The Chicago studio where Drains recorded her music in 1926 no longer exists, but when she played her music at Roberts Temple, she influenced people like 11-year-old Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who sat in the congregation and would go on to become a gospel superstar.
Probably like hearing Jimi Hendrix for the first time. There was nothing like it before.
That's music writer Michael Corcoran. He's uncovered as much of Drains' lost history as anyone ever has for the forthcoming CD package, He Is My Story, The Sanctified Soul of Arizona Drains.
She really was the first person to take secular styles and then put words of praise on top of them to make gospel music. And it was extremely influential because, you know, people like Thomas Dorsey, who's correctly considered the father of gospel music, he figured that, I can take blues and put that to gospel music and come up with something new, but he has acknowledged her as one of his influences.
So would it be right then to call her the mother of gospel?
Well, a certain type of gospel. I think that gospel got its rhythmic identity from Arizona Drains. She's the person that really put the drive in gospel. You know, she was Pentecostal. She was from the Church of God in Christ. I guess they call them holy rollers, or they believe in speaking in the tongues and really letting it go. So her music totally fit the church of what was going on. The preachers would preach about the spirit possession, and then they would say, here's Arizona Drains, and she would just show them what they were talking about.
As I was reading your notes, you let me know that Arizona Drains grew up in Texas, but what else do we know about her childhood?
Arizona Drains was a student for the Institute for Deaf, Dumb, Blind, Colored Youth in Austin, Texas at 1896. You know, back then, playing music was one of the few ways that it was seen that blind people could make a living. Mm. I looked at the curriculum. She was really classically trained. I mean, she was playing Mozart and Beethoven and singing arias when she was 10, 11 years old. It's really important to know that, too, because when I first heard the music of Arizona Drains, it was so spooky. It sounded to me like 1930s cartoon music, but the lyrics are about lamb's blood and the crucifixion. And knowing that she was classically trained made a lot of sense because she had such command of the piano. You match the spirit with her technique, and that is Arizona Drains.
I'm speaking with Michael Corcoran. He wrote the liner notes to an upcoming CD retrospective of the music of Arizona Drains. She made the recordings that we're talking about in Chicago in 1926. How did she get to Chicago?
Well, by train. What happened was in 1920, Mamie Smith had a song called Crazy Blues for OK Records, and it created a sensation. And finally, record companies realized that there was a market that black people would buy a lot of records, and they called them race records.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody had ever done Pentecostal music, and so Richard M. Jones from Chicago, he was the A&R rep for race records, he decided to try gospel music, and he put a feeler out. He let certain people know, we're looking for who's the hot gospel performers out there. and there was a preacher in Texas named Samuel Crouch. He's actually related somehow to Andre Crouch.
I was going to ask you that.
He told Richard Jones about this person, Arizona Drains, and they sent her a note saying that, you know, we'll send you to Chicago, we'll do the recordings, but we have no guarantee that they're coming out. These are strictly test records. Because nobody had ever done that before. She was really one of a kind.
Well, OK Records did eventually release those recordings. She recorded in 1926, again in 1928, and then that last session with F.W. McGee in 1930. But that was it. No more recordings from her, correct?
Right, and that was strictly due to the Depression. You know, the Depression dried up demand for that raw, kind of energetic performances. That new style of gospel music took off, you know, in the face of Depression, whereas, you know, people like Arizona Drains, Blind Willie Johnson, most of the great blues performers didn't make records after 1930 because of the Depression.
Arizona Drains died in 1963. How was her passing noted at that time?
There was nothing. There was nothing at all. And I've searched histories for Church of God in Christ. I can see where maybe the general public wouldn't know much about her because she didn't sell many records and she only played in church for the most part. But it really puzzled me that the Church of God in Christ didn't acknowledge her. I was thinking to myself, why was that? I think that she was never really part of the church organization and therefore was sort of forgotten through the years.
And what do you think the lasting impact or influence Arizona Drains had on gospel musicians and singers of today?
You look at Little Richard and Ray Charles and Fats Domino and people like that, just someone who gets down and they sit at the piano and they just lose themselves, but yet they're in complete control of their instrument. And that all started with Arizona Drains. There is nobody before her that did that on record. And when I first read about her in the, it was actually in a book by Horace Boyer called How Sweet the Sound in 1997, and he credited her with coming up with the gospel beat. And I started thinking, well, how important is that? I mean, the gospel beat is really the blueprint for soul music, for rock and roll. I mean, Jerry Lee Lewis is Pentecostal too, and I'm sure he heard, if he didn't hear Arizona Drains records, he heard people that heard her records. So I really think that she's such an important figure and completely obscure, for really no good reason.
Michael Corcoran is a music writer in Austin, Texas. He wrote the liner notes for the CD package He Is My Story, The Sanctified Soul of Arizona Drains. You can hear a few tracks at our website, nprmusic.org. Michael Corcoran, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
And our program is directed today by Walter Ray Watson and edited by Kenya Young. The production staff includes Phil Harrell, Lily Percy, Lauren Silverman, Brent Bachman, Amy Held, Becky Sullivan, Wilma Consul, and Beenish Ahmed, our croc fellow, who we bid a fond farewell today. Beenish, good luck to you, and we look forward to all the big and bold things you go on to do. Our technical director today is Greg Gavin. Muthoni Muturi is the senior editor, and Steve Lichtai is our senior producer. And for Sunday, that's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Cheryl Corley. Check out our podcast. Search for Weekends on All Things Considered on iTunes or go to npr.org/weekendATC. We'll be back next week with more news and more stories. Until then, have a great night.